Is the ISIS leader dead?
Russia is checking whether or not he was killed by an airstrike.
Lawmakers play ball for wounded colleagues.
Steve would want nothing more than to make sure this game was played.
Charting a new course to Cuba.
President Trump will undo his predecessor's relaxation of travel rules.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, the Pentagon hasn't confirmed it, but the Russian army says it's believed one of its airstrikes in Syria may have killed the leader of ISIS. CBS's Holly Williams has details.
Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov admitted today that Russia does not have 100% confirmation that it killed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Russia is apparently checking whether or not he was killed by an airstrike, allegedly targeting a meeting of ISIS leaders near Raqqa in Syria in the early hours of May 28th. Now, the whereabouts of al-Baghdadi have long been a mystery. There have been many rumours of his death, and he's very rarely been captured on camera.
Just days after the Pentagon chief admitted to Congress the U.S. isn't winning in Afghanistan, CBS's Cammie McCormick reports more American forces will be heading there.
The decision could be announced as early as next week. Defense Secretary James Mattis will make the call. He's been given the authority to set troop levels. The 4,000 additional American forces will try to break the stalemate in Afghanistan. Mattis has indicated he'll take a different approach that will include more air power and more pressure on Afghanistan's neighbors.
Well, the night after Congressman Steve Scalise and others were shot at a baseball practice, CBS's Jan Crawford tells us the congressional charity game brought out cheers and tears.
The night began with a bipartisan moment of reflection and a standing ovation for a surprise guest, one of the heroes of Wednesday's shooting, Special Agent David Bailey. A moving moment that gave lawmakers like Mo Brooks, who escaped the attack unharmed, a chance to say thanks.
I was compelled to go over there and give him a hug.
President Trump sent his daughter Ivanka and a message that aired in the outfield before the game.
You are showing the world that we will not be intimidated by threats, acts of violence, or assaults on our democracy.
There certainly were some errors, but clutch plays by Democrats led to a blowout. Final score, 11-2. But for the players, this game was bigger than the score.
Democrats sent the trophy to Scalise's office. CBS's Bill Rakoff has the latest on his condition.
The Louisiana Republican remains in critical condition, but a statement from MedStar Washington Hospital Center says he's showing signs of improvement. Scalise underwent a second round of surgery late Thursday to repair damage to his internal organs and to a bone in his leg. The statement goes on to say that Scalise will require more surgery and will be in the hospital for some time. The
investigators say they found a cell phone, camera, and computer in gunman James Hodgkinson's van. They're tracing his activities in the months before the attack. On social media, he had blasted Republicans and President Trump. In Belleville, Illinois, Hodgkinson's widow, Sue, says she had no hint he was planning violence.
I can't believe he did this. I cannot believe it. And I just want you all to go away and leave my neighbors in peace.
New developments in the Russia investigation. CBS's Major Garrett.
According to the Washington Post, Mr. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is now under special counsel scrutiny. Vice President Pence's office confirmed Thursday that he, too, had hired a lawyer to deal with a special counsel investigation.
White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy heads to Miami today. That's where President Trump is going to order some changes to Cuba policy initiated under Barack Obama.
President Trump will keep the U.S. Embassy in Havana open and continue allowing Americans who go to Cuba to bring back rum and cigars. But individual travel will be restricted. Only group tours will be allowed. And the administration will ban transactions with businesses linked to the Cuban military. Through its Gaesa Corporation, the military runs dozens of hotels and restaurants, which will soon be off limits to Americans.
Deadlocked was the word the jury in the Bill Cosby case used to describe where things stand. CBS's Matt Piper is in Norristown, Pennsylvania.
40 hours and 4 days of deliberations have brought no verdict. The jury is back at it again as onlookers wonder if we could be close to a mistrial. Last night, jurors looked agitated and exhausted. The judge said he understands and that, quote, this is difficult work. Bill Cosby and his attorney were all smiles when walking out of the courtroom.
The manhunt for two escaped Georgia inmates ended near Shelbyville, Tennessee. Lieutenant Bill Miller is with the State Highway Patrol.
They were attempting to steal another vehicle. At that point in time, the homeowner stepped out and held the people there by gunpoint.
Police say the inmates began their getaway earlier this week by shooting and killing two guards while on a work detail. At the airport, some airlines are testing new technology that could do away with boarding passes and passports. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
This is a trial of facial recognition technology by U.S. Customs and JetBlue. The airline wants to see if it makes the boarding process faster.
I'm just going to walk up and they're going to take a picture and that's it. It just amazes me, the technology.
The system matches images to a government database of passport photos. A seamless process, according to Joanna Garrity from JetBlue.
We're looking at how do you reduce those friction points? How do you create an experience that doesn't have any lines?
But even as the technology speeds passengers through the airport,
couldn't be faster, pretty fast.
Some fear it's moving too fast.
Implementation of the use of biometrics need to be scrutinized very closely.
Jeremy Scott from the Electronic Privacy Information Center worries about the use of personal identifiers that cannot be changed.
A documentary that's out today is a feast for the ears, all about movie music.
The motion picture score is often an integral part of a feature film. When you hear this, you almost certainly know it comes from Star Wars, but go back a few decades. You probably know that comes from Gone with the Wind. Matt Schrader is director of the documentary Score.
A score can transform a movie. Sad music is going to convey something.
And a score can even transform a particular scene, like the famous shower scene from Psycho. The modern motion picture score dates back to 1933 and the film King Kong, when Kong climbs the Empire State Building. Sometimes a score can be sparse, like the opening of The Social Network. But we usually think of lavish, grand productions.
It's probably the biggest component of what gives film its emotional sentiment.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The NCAA has taken action against one of the top college basketball programs in the country.
Suspended for 5 games following a years-long sex scandal investigation, Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino will miss 5 Atlantic Coast Conference games.
Not only is it unjust, unfast, over-the-top severe, but I've lost a lot of faith in the NCAA.
NCAA also placing the program on 4 years probation, vacating wins in which ineligible players participated. That could mean revoking their 2013 national championship. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
A restaurant in Dover, New Hampshire says come Labor Day, staffers will no longer accept tips. The Seventh Settlement Brewery says instead menu prices will go up 15% to 21% and employee salaries will rise to up to $50,000 a year. The owner calls the policy hospitality included. That's the Roundup, produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.